Welcome to Sister Speak After Show, where we discuss television and movies from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister K.
I'm Sister LM.
And I'm Sister A.
And welcome to episode 33. Let's get started. All right, welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. We are back.
Woo!
It has been a minute.
It's been a while.
It's been an hour.
It's been an hour. Yeah.
It's been a while since we've done the after show.
Yes.
Welcome back, people.
Yeah.
And today we are going to be talking about Banshee, a Cinemax original series.
Boop.
Which started about, what? Well, it's got to be at least 4 years ago because they're about to start the fourth season in, I think, 2 weeks.
Looks like beginning of 2013 it started.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2013.
I am very excited for the fourth season. I think this is the last they've already
said.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sad. Because if y'all think, well, I don't know what y'all think yet, but the first season was pretty damn good. Second season was good. Third season was really good.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I've been surprised. Cause you know how sometimes they fall off.
Yeah.
And the story changes because it has to change, but then it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it does change a little bit, but it's still good. At least in mine, still
nice.
So it's been getting better with every season.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
And it left on a really good, season three. I just got caught up on season three like 2 months ago.
Okay.
So, because I had fallen off on watching. But, okay. So, the pilot episode. And how many did y'all watch, by the way? Did you watch three or did you watch more?
I watched three.
Okay. I watched three.
The first three.
Okay. Yeah. So the pilot episode, and I think I had trouble when we were talking about doing this, explaining what it was about, because I didn't want to reveal anything. But so basically the premise of this story is there's this guy gets out of jail, and what happens after that? Like, that's basically all I could say.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's the premise.
See why you couldn't say much now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, it's
completely
spoiling
it. Yeah.
Started right off the bat.
It does.
It?
Yeah.
So we see this guy getting out of jail. And I was really interested when I was rewatching it because I've picked up on stuff I didn't notice before.
Mm-hmm.
Like the look on his face when the gates were opening of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
It was prison. And the look on his face, which if you keep watching, you'll understand. He's got issues, but he's got real issues, especially about being cooped up.
Okay.
In what I would imagine it would be claustrophobic to be in prison.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're a claustrophobic person, don't be doing no shit. Because you're going to be locked
up. Yeah, you're going to be stuck. Right. And he was in there for 15 years.
15 years!
Yeah. And he's not that old.
He ain't that old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about that too. I'm like, well, shit, how old is he supposed to have been?
Exactly.
Right.
I'm thinking like in the early 20s or something.
Yeah, or late teens or something. Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't look that old now.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, so he gets out of jail and he walks to town, wherever the heck this town is.
Right.
Gets some food, sees a girl, has sex with her in the back, which I thought, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, he's been cooped up, I guess.
But Mai was like, okay for the girl.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, you just random dude.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then he breaks into this car and ends up driving to New York. Excuse me. And when he gets to New York, he goes to this salon, and he just walks in like he knows what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
And there is a Asian hairdresser, you assume,
mm-hmm.
with all his little makeup on. And when he sees him walk in, they both look at each other and he goes, fuck. I'm like, oh, they know each other.
Definitely.
And his name is Job.
Job.
And just
interesting.
Spoiler alert, he's my favorite character.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
He's great. So, one of my favorites.
Okay.
So he ends up going down to the basement, and by the time Job gets down there, they're just looking at each other, like, oh, you're out. And I thought that was interesting because they don't even have to say anything. He's just like, yeah, I'm out. You know what I'm here for. And Job is immediately like, hey, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know nothing. So he picks I call him the motor guy, because later he's on a motorcycle, but the prison dude, because we never find out his name.
Yeah, what the hell is his name?
Right.
His real name.
Yeah.
But, so he starts picking up equipment, computer monitors and shit, and starts throwing it around, breaking it up. And Job's like, dude, come on. He's like, you know what I'm here for. Give me the address. He's like, I don't have it. I don't know. You don't even need to do that anyhow. It's dangerous. He starts tearing up more shit. I was like, he wants to know. You might want to tell him. So finally, Job's like, look, quit breaking my shit up. I'll tell you. And so he pulls up this address. And I thought what's interesting was this dude just looks at the computer screen and just leaves. Like, he didn't need to write nothing down.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't need a pen. I mean, he must have a good memory. He got it. So as he leaves the salon, he notices some guy looking at him out of this other car. And I'm thinking, okay, who is this? The chase ensues because this dude starts chasing them through the streets of New York.
Yep.
Car chase scene, which is pretty cool, actually. He ends up wrecking his car. He jumps out and starts running. And while he's running, these fools are shooting at him. I'm like, oh, yeah. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? The first time I watched it. I mean, in a crowded
in the middle of the
street.
In the middle of New York City.
He wasn't Shane Renaud shooting.
Mm-mm.
No.
I can't want to know who, you know, he is hitting all these cars. Somebody had to have gotten shot.
I know, right?
Someone got hurt.
So while these cars are trying to avoid the prison dude, he's bumping into cars and stuff. He's running. This big ass double decker bus ends up wrecking and sliding towards him. So he's like, oh shit, I got to turn my stuff around. That was a pretty awesome scene.
Yeah,
I thought
that was cool.
That thing was sliding. I was thinking, how far away was he? Because it seemed like when the bus fell over, he kind of stumbled. Like the ground shook or something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he was able to escape, grab this dude's motorcycle that was stopped at the corner, and speed off.
Took off.
And what cracked me up was when he was speeding off, he was kind of laughing. Like, punk, I got
see ya.
Yeah, see ya. So I know when I watched this the first time, I was already hooked. I was like, oh shit, I gotta see what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
What does y'all think?
Yeah, I liked it pretty much right away. You know, because he was kind of mysterious.
He was mysterious.
Yeah.
I was intrigued, but at this point, my main thing was, I just want to know his name.
Tell me his name.
What the hell is your name?
Yeah.
And you never find out. Isn't that frustrating?
Never, ever.
I still...
You're up to season. You're up to date, and season four is about to start.
Yeah,
he's still unnamed.
Well, his name is Lucas. Well, yeah, his assumed name is what you know is
Lucas.
Yes. Lucas Hood,
but it's not real.
You don't know his real name. I still don't know his real name.
Whoa!
Now, I could have missed something, but I feel like they still haven't revealed his name because that would have caught my attention.
For sure.
And even throughout, like, the people that know him from the past, when they talk to him, they never say his name. I keep thinking, somebody's going to say his name. Like, he keeps saying somebody else's name.
Yeah.
The old name. But it never happened.
As soon as he found, ex-girlfriend, ex-lover, I was waiting for her to say his name.
Yeah.
Yes. I wonder if they did that on purpose.
If this is the final season, they got to tell us.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think so.
I don't know. Because, I mean, he's his new name now.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I think is kind of cool, though, that they did that. The mysteries.
It is a mystery, yeah. I was interested about. Is this guy? Who's after him?
Yeah.
What's going on? Where's he going?
Why was he in prison?
Right.
And how did they know his ass was out?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the dude chasing him had this big ass spider tattoo on the side of his neck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that guy was kind of cute, but I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no, not with that
thing. Not with that big-ass spider on your neck.
No.
No. So then we get a little bit of a montage with him driving the motorcycle through Pennsylvania Amish territory.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, what a twist. This is cool.
Yeah. So he's driving, and they show the sign, Banshee.
Mm-hmm.
Entering Banshee, the city.
Yeah.
So then we get over to a courtroom scene, and you see this guy, his name is Kai Proctor, on trial, and the judge basically dismisses the case to the disgust of the prosecutor and the mayor and some other people that are in the courtroom. He says for lack of evidence, but the prosecutor is thinking that they're all in this dude's pocket, Kai Proctor's pocket, because mm-hmm. he's apparently rich and he's got his hands in all kinds of shit. And so this is when we meet Gordon, we meet the mayor, we meet Carrie, the prosecutor's wife, who turns out to be
dun, dun, dun.
The ex-girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah. So her name is Carrie now, and she's meeting him, the prosecutor, Gordon, and she's got a look on her face. He's like, oh, no, again. And it turns out the daughter, her daughter, who's a teenager, mm-hmm. is in trouble again. Apparently, she's always in trouble.
Yeah.
So, what I didn't remember seeing when I first watched this was when they have that scene of them walking up the stairs to the house and the camera's like inside the house. Mm-hmm. They're talking and unlocking the door. There's somebody already in the house and snatches a picture up off the side table. And I don't remember seeing that or remembering that. Did y'all notice that?
I missed that.
I'm trying to think back. I think I missed that. Yeah,
I don't think I know. I remember did too. That.
I was so busy watching them, I don't think I saw it. But this time I noticed some movement. And I'm like, oh, he's in the house. He was in the house and he was looking at the pictures and he took one of them off the side table.
Oh, yes, he was in the house.
Yeah. So he was scoping it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which also shows, okay, he not only can he get out of situations, he's sneaky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they didn't know anybody was in there. So they're fussing at the daughter, and she apparently kicked the substitute teacher because he was looking down her shirt. And the father said, oh, well, it's no wonder with what you got on. She's like, oh, really? I'm supposed to let him molest me because of my clothes? Anyway. So they just go on with their day. The mother goes in the kitchen. The Gordon guy, because we don't know who these people, you know, I figured it was the mother, father, but turns out no. But Gordon says he's going to go take a shower. She goes to get a cup of water and looks out the window, and there's the prison dude standing in her yard.
In the yard.
It was a really cool shot, though, the way they did that.
It was.
And so she drops the glass. It breaks.
Yeah.
The daughter's like, bye. And I'm thinking, bye? Where'd she go? Didn't her all just get in trouble for hitting the teacher? But the mother didn't care. She was trying to get outside into the backyard to see if he was there, but nobody was there.
Mm-hmm.
So then the daughter leaves and meets her friend. And the cool thing is how they tied it all together, which I didn't remember, is that as she's walking away with her friend, he's leaving on the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously he was watching.
And the daughter sees him.
And she sees
yes.
him. She doesn't know who he is. You know?
Yeah.
So he's driving and he ends up going to this place called the Forge, which is like a bar. And he goes in there and meets Sugar Bates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Sugar.
Yeah.
I do too.
I like the place is cool too.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Frankie Faison is the actor's name. I like
him. I really like him.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
Yeah. Frankie Faison.
Faison.
Phase on, phase off. No.
He played in The Wire.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
See, I never watched The Wire.
Oh, it's my absolute favorite TV series.
Wow. Wasn't that thing on for like 10 years?
Yeah. No, not that long.
Oh, it wasn't?
Yeah. Like five seasons or something.
Five or six.
Oh, okay.
Five or yeah. 6 years.
Okay, yeah. That's not bad.
No.
It's just it was a while ago.
Yeah,
it was really long. Yeah. Ago.
It was HBO too, though, I think.
Mm-hmm. HBO, yeah.
So, yeah, I like Sugar, and he's the owner, and so prison dude goes in, gets a drink, actually, what I thought was cool is how Sugar was like, hey, you look like you had a shitty day. It's bourbon or whatever he said for you. And he's like, okay. So they kind of chit chat for a second. And he knows that he's fresh out of prison. He's like, you got that look fresh out.
Yep.
And he knows because his ass has been in prison before. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, damn.
That's how you know, I guess.
That's how you know. So they chit chat a bit. And then he reveals that he used to be a boxer and he won a title, but he had to pawn his belt because hard times.
Yeah. And he's got his framed picture up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Fight.
One of his knockouts.
Yep.
And so while they're chit-chatting and talking, a man comes out of the bathroom and goes and sits down to eat. And it turns out he is about to be the new sheriff on Monday. Mm-hmm. He's new in town.
Yep.
And so Sugar's like, don't sheriffs have to be elected? He's like, yep. But they hired me special. Apparently they're trying to get somebody out. He's like, I'm looking forward to meeting them. So you can realize that he hasn't met the mayor or the sheriff that hired him. And then Sugar says, well, that'll be interesting because the sheriff died last week. I'm like, dang.
Oh, boy.
Now, how do you hire someone and never meet them?
Right.
Not Skype with them.
Nothing.
See pictures.
Mm-hmm. Makes no sense.
No sense. But we don't let that go. Cause
not in this day and age.
Not in this. Yeah. But he also says he was a sheriff for 9 years in Oregon. So that's like halfway across country. And so he's interested in getting to work. So at that point, two thugs come in. And this is when the shit kicks off.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I was loving it. Because I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? So the sheriff was pretty cool. He's like, he keeps on eating. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, Sugar, we're here for our, you know, for our shit. Because obviously they shake his ass down every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Get some
prison
money.
Prison dude's kind of looking out the side of his eye like, okay, I can see some shit's about to kick off in here. So they start talking shit to Sugar. And then because the sheriff is still sitting there eating, they start talking shit to him. And I'm thinking, well, damn, that's rude. So he's like, yeah, I'm planning to finish up my steak because it's pretty good. And if I have to, if I have to stop and deal with y'all and maybe even take you in or kill one of you, my steak's going to be cold.
Hey, and I was with him.
Okay. And it looked good, too.
It did.
And he said, because a reheated steak is never quite the same. And he's right. So right. So one of those fools puts a gun to his head, which I thought was like, damn, that means shit. That they really thought they were the shit.
Yeah.
And I was impressed because he immediately like pushes the dude's gun away from his head, stabs his ass with a fork, pulls out his gun on the other dude, and there's a standoff. And I'm thinking, oh shit, what's going to happen? So then the prison guy, it's like, he's like, you can hear this distorted noise and he's hearing everything in slow motion. And he gets up off his chair and starts walking over, which I thought was kind of cool the way they did that. But anyway, he's trying to defuse it. He's like, look, Sheriff, let's let these guys go. There's probably about $200 in the till. Let them go. I'm going to buy enough drinks to get Sugar back his money. And then everybody will be all right.
Yep.
I said, oh, he ain't going to go for that. As a sheriff? No. Mm. He thought he was too good. He pushes him out the way. He gets to shooting. Those dudes shoot him, I think, like 3-4 times.
He got it a bunch of times.
The prison guy takes the one dude and starts stabbing him up. Then the other dude that was shooting, he is tussling with him, grabs an A1 bottle, shoves it down his throat, and pushes him back in his head. Gets knocked into, impaled on this, what is that, an anvil or something?
Anvil, yeah.
Which I'm thinking,
right.
How do you have an anvil in the middle of your restaurant? Okay. Seems kinda like cool. An accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
But it worked out well.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, they're all dead. I'm like, shit. So then the sheriff, he ain't all the way dead yet. He's still alive. He's like, am I dead? And prison dude just looks at him and says, yep, sorry. Ain't nothing we can do.
Just about.
And so he dies.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, what they gonna do? And that's what Sugar was saying, too. He's like, shit.
Oh, my God.
Fucked up. But I kind of liked his line. He's like, okay, two cons, three dead people, one a cop. We in trouble.
Yeah.
So Sugar's like, hey, I'm going to give you a head start. You saved me. They would have killed me, too. So you just go on, get out of here. I got some tricks up my sleeve. I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured it out all right.
He sure did, didn't he? He sure did. He started packing their ass in the car. Now I'm thinking,
stick them in the trunk.
You might have wanted to call somebody. He said, no, I'm going to go get rid of this evidence. What I'm going to do. And I guess he did it, too, because of Kai, not knowing what the Kai guy would do.
Mm-hmm.
So then the prison dude goes over to Carrie's house. And apparently she knew he would be back. She was waiting in the kitchen. And so she goes outside to talk to him. And he, which I thought was funny also, immediately asked her, oh, how you doing? You see you got kids. How old are they? Because he want to know how old that daughter is.
Yep.
Because he's already put some shit together. And then, yeah, we find out it's been 15 years. He calls her Anna. And she keeps telling him, my name is Carrie now. He's like, what happened? 15 years, you don't come see me? Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, okay, well, my kids are 8 and 13. He's like, she looks a lot older than 13.
Mm-hmm.
Peeping that out. And so she says, look, I have kids. You got to go. I have kids now. I have a husband that loves me. But at the same time, as he's getting closer to her, you could see she's like, oh, yeah, my old boo.
How you doing?
How you doing? You looking good fresh out the prison.
Hey.
I'm like, lady, you are not winning this because as she keeps telling him, no, she sure is hugging on his ass.
Mm-hmm.
So then she pushes him away and said, look, how could you? You could have led Rabbit right to me. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, who's Rabbit?
Mm-hmm. Who's Rabbit?
So he says, okay, well, I'll leave. Just give me my cut of the money. And she's like, I ain't got no money. I don't have the diamonds. And he's like, what the fuck?
What?
She says, well, when you got caught, he said, I did not get caught. I led them away so your ass could get away. And I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I tried to fence them. I got rolled by these Serbians. And I don't have no money. You think I'm sitting on $10 million bucks? He looks pissed. He's like, well, shit, I ain't get the money. I ain't get the girl. Ain't got nothing. And at that point, the husband comes out looking for her. And she has to go back in.
Yeah.
But I was like, aw, I kind of felt bad for the prison dude. So then he goes back to the bar to help Sugar deal with all those dead people. So they go out digging in this, probably in the woods somewhere. And Sugar's like, look, this isn't right. We shouldn't be putting the sheriff in there with all those thugs. We need to dig them a new hole. Right when he says that, the phone rings and it's the sheriff's phone. Now, what possessed his ass to pick it up? I don't know.
Thank you. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Exactly. Yeah. Just got out of prison.
So he picks up the phone and it's the mayor calling saying, hey, how was your drive? You in town yet? I want to see you tomorrow. Can you come up to the diner? He's like, sure. And he also finds his badge.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Sugar is like, what the fuck? He said, I hope you have a damn plan. He's like, well, I'll do like I always do. Just play along with it. Mm-hmm. So he calls Job. Back to Job. Yay.
Yay.
And Job's got a new wig on. A new outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Outfit, new makeup.
New makeup, everything. I didn't like this wig. It was too much in his face. But anyway, he said, I need your help, Job. I need to be someone else. He's like, bitch, don't we all?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Oh, he's got the best lines. And so then he says, okay, I can help you with that. Except this dude's a cop. So I got to change these records and this and that and this. Anyway, he says he could do it. And so then Sugar's like, you know what? I don't know about you, but some cons, they always trying to get right back into prison as soon as they get out. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, no, I ain't going back. So he offers him a place to stay, gives him the sheriff's keys, which I'm thinking, damn, that's some bold shit. I mean, he's just taking his life over all the way.
Yep.
And anyway, so he offers him a place to stay. And then that's when we kind of get our first inkling that he's got some issues because right. as he goes to the, he's like an old storage attic or something. Mm. He pulls the bed out, but then he just puts a blanket on the floor and he sleeps on the floor.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay, that's odd. And then he starts having dreams of him and Anna back in the day getting chased, mm-hmm. apparently of this rabbit. And he wakes up all shaky and disoriented and he starts running, just running.
Yeah, yeah.
Through the woods. And he looks like he's all, you know, jacked up.
Fucked up.
Fucked up, exactly. So anyway, so that's when I kind of was like, okay, he's got some issues. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. What's the story? What's the story?
Yeah, and that kind of continues the whole season.
Okay.
Well, actually, all the seasons.
All the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you kind of find out he kind of has anxiety about closed-in spaces.
Okay.
And later, well, and I think it was even before he went to prison. Because they like kind of do a couple of flashbacks later mm-hmm. in the season about her kind of knowing the Carrie Anna ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
That him being in prison was going to be tough.
Oh, okay.
For him mentally.
Mm.
So.
Damn.
Which makes her not seeing him for 15 years terrible, but.
Yeah.
There's reasons later. We'll find out.
I see.
But, so then the next day. Or no, that's the same day. Excuse me. He's back there helping Sugar clean. And Kai Proctor rolls up. And Sugar's like, get in the back. Don't come out. He's like, why? He's like, just get your ass back there.
Just do it.
So Kai comes in talking about, I'm missing a couple of men. Have you seen them? And I was thinking, oh, he's just going to tell. And Sugar's like, I haven't seen anybody. I'm like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, who is this Kai dude? Because he's like, well, I'm hoping that if any of my guys got out of line, you would call me and not try to take care of things yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Threat, threat.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked what Sugar said. He's like, no one runs faster from a fight than an old fighter. Don't worry about me.
Yep.
But didn't you find it interesting that when he went to leave, he noticed that anvil?
He did.
And yeah. then he touched yeah. it like, I know what blood looks like on here.
Mm.
I was like, damn.
Yeah.
He knows.
He knows something's up.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah.
So then, the new dude, or excuse me, the prison dude comes out and he's like, what the hell was that about? And so he tells him, look, that's Kai Proctor. He owns everything. And if you don't own it, he runs it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't run it, he burns it shit down.
Shit.
So then he tells him, look, I'm going to give you $400 out of my thing and just go. Cause you're already free. You don't want to get caught up in no mess.
Yeah.
And go back. And of course he says, nah, I can't do that. But he does take some money.
But I yep. thought that was very kind of him to offer. Like, he yeah. emptied out his register for this stranger.
Right. Yeah. Which he didn't have the money to do, really.
Right.
Obviously, yeah. since he was pawning his belt right. and stuff.
Yeah.
That was a nice gesture.
Yep.
And so then he said, no, I'll take a couple of dollars. I'll pay you back later. So this was startling to me, because as soon as that scene's over, you get a serious-ass sex scene. And I mean serious. Do y'all remember
the
that?
The first one was serious.
That's what I'm talking. Oh, yeah, that one was
with the serious. Stranger.
The strange girl.
In the back.
Yeah, that was serious.
This one, to me, was more serious. Because, I mean, we saw everything.
They're pretty graphic.
It was graphic. It's Cinemax.
Skinemax.
I think I looked away.
Skinemax. Yeah, it was a little bit. I mean, I was like, oh, damn. I mean, can right? we warn somebody?
Exactly. Oh, no kind of warning.
Is this that one?
The one where the Carrie Anna
and her husband.
Woo! That was serious. And I'm like, how? Tell me how.
I was thinking the same
thing. Do you film that?
Yes.
Because she was totally naked.
Yeah. And you can't help but have your head there.
Wait, what do you mean, how do you film that?
How, as an actor?
Like, oh, how do you act out the scene?
How do you film? How do you film? Excuse me.
I thought you meant, like, how did they position the cameras to...
No. How do you, as an actress and an actor, film that?
I gotcha.
Because you can't fake that.
No.
His head was all up in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no CGI going on.
No.
CGI. Wait, what is CGI?
Like special effects.
No, you couldn't special effect that.
Oh.
There's no green screen or nothing.
Oh, okay.
That's right there.
No, it was there. I mean, really. I kept thinking if I was that actress, I'd have been like,
You want me to do what?
I don't know about this one.
No, you just have to pay me extra.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like, whoo!
And the other thing, and Sister J watches this show, and she's talked about this on another podcast, but she doesn't, for some reason, it bothers her, the fact that this actress, and there's another one later, is flat-chested.
OMG, I'm with her.
What do you mean?
I'm so with her on this.
Why? I don't get that.
I don't know how to explain it. Like... I don't know how to explain it.
She never could explain.
It's bothersome, though. Not bothersome, but it's like, why?
But what do you mean, why? Why does it matter whether she's flat-chested or not?
I know that, but it's very awkward watching the sex scenes because she's so flat-chested.
Like you're distracted.
Well, distracted and the wrong angle, it looks like she's so flat-chested, like she... There's really nothing. Yeah.
Oh, like a kid, maybe?
Just a nipple.
It's just awkward to watch.
See, I don't know. I don't get the awkwardness, although she is fucking flat-chested. I mean, I don't even think she needs a bra.
She does not.
But my problem with Sister J saying this is she's fucking flat-chested.
Oh, no!
So, how are you going to...
Sister J!
How are you going to criticize a fellow itty-bitty titty committee member?
A fellow flat-chester.
Yeah. A fellow flat-chester, an itty-bitty titty member.
Who's having a good sex scene at the moment.
How do you criticize that if you're the same?
Well, what exactly does she criticize?
She's flat-chested.
Yeah, but what about that bothers Sister Jack?
I'm tired of all these flat-chested... non-boob women, because there's another woman later in, I don't know if we see her in episode one or two or three, but later there's another girl who's not as flat but almost, and she's like, why do they keep getting all these? Oh,
wait,
also
is
she says
one that he had sex with.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was in, was that episode three?
I think it's three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the daughter
thing?
She's not a daughter. Well, she's not the, she's a niece of.
Oh, niece. Kai. Okay. Yeah.
She's like, I'm sick of these no shape we having women in these shows, and they always got them naked, and we, and I'm like,
well, that does seem odd.
Yeah.
If she's like that, why wouldn't, you know, she'd be like, oh, that's nice there's somebody like me in these shows.
Oh, I thought you meant that's odd that they keep showing flat-chested women.
I think there's a lot of things going on here.
It doesn't bother me, but it bothered her. And
I didn't feel so bothered after I saw the second one, because I was like, oh, okay, they're giving props to flat-chested women on this show. That's kind of nice. So after that, I let it go.
Oh my God.
God.
Giving props to the flatty
chested women of America.
Flat chesters.
The flat chesters.
Poor flat chesters. I had a couple of friends that were fight tested, and they were just obsessed with getting boobs, like getting
fake really?
Boobs. Yeah. I'm like, you should be happy.
They're part of the FCA.
What's that? Flat Chesters of America?
Yes. With Chairwoman Sister J.
FCAs of America, unite.
The FCAs, unite.
I would love to be flat chested. Your shit fits better. You don't have to wear a bra that's going to cut into your skin.
Well, maybe you somewhere in between is good.
Yeah, no boob sweat. In between or under.
Yeah.
And you don't. You can run easily.
I don't know where to put my phone, though.
That's true.
That's true. That's a big issue. My phone, my chapstick, my keys,
lip gloss.
My lip gloss. Exactly.
My lunch. Just kidding.
I've never tried lunch. I've put a lot of pen. I've done pens.
I've done a lot.
I've done a lot, too. But it's just so much easier.
It is.
But I guess if you were, you would not like it.
Right.
I would. You wear little tank tops and shit.
You always want what you can't have.
Exactly. Yeah, just going to say that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that scene was a tad uncomfortable to
watch. Ooh, that was, and it was for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did last really long.
It wasn't like a quick clip over there. And
no.
Then, yeah.
I just want to, I mean, if I ever was able to interview those people, I would be asking, okay.
I would just like ask how.
Break this shit down to me. How the fuck did you film that?
How many takes did that take without everybody giggling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the dude, how uncomfortable is that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how that could have been fake.
Right. Excuse me while I put my head in your crotch.
Fake.
No.
There had to be something in between, like some little piece of cloth or something in there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure. Still.
Still. I mean,
still.
They saw everything. Everything. Yeah. Anyway, but during the scene, she's thinking about the prison dude.
Mm-hmm. That ain't right.
That ain't right. But, hey, what you gonna do? And she also does flash on when he got caught. Or when they were running through the woods or whatever. So, but she was more thinking about when they were having sex. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So then, I mean, all that scene was, I guess, to show some skin. Because it didn't really... They didn't, like, get up and start talking or anything. They just flashed over to a different scene where the prison dude meets the mayor. So, I mean, that scene, they just threw it in there because it's Cinemax. Anyway, so then I thought it was kind of cool because when the prison guy goes to meet the mayor, you can see himself in the car trying to psych himself up like, mm-hmm. I'm Lucas Hood. Hello, my name is Lucas Hood. And then he kind of scoped out because he could tell... There was somebody waiting for him. I think he was probably late on purpose. So the mayor would kind of be looking around so he could tell who the hell the mayor was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the mayor does explain to him, well, the reason I had hired you is because the old sheriff and almost everybody in this damn town are in Kai Proctor's pocket. And I need an outsider to take his ass down. So that's the second confirmation that this dude ain't to be messed with, if we didn't already know. So then what do we see? Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite scenes of this episode. We go back to New York and Spider Neck Man and his other little dude go to see Job at the salon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, they're going to kill him.
I thought that was the end for Job.
I did too.
Yeah.
And his little guy, his little dude comes down and goes, there's these two dudes up there. And he sees him on the camera. He's like, get the backup drives in the car. And I'm like, oh, okay. He knows something. So they come down and he tries to act all nonchalant. They end up knocking him upside the head. I was like, oh, hell. Mm-hmm. They don't kill him. He's like, wait. Okay, I got the file. It's in the safe. Let me go get it for you. This was too cool for me. He goes in the safe, honey, and he's sashaying.
Yes.
He is just sashaying all normal. He ain't even not running.
In the world. My ass would be running.
Running.
But okay. He is cool, calm.
And collected.
Yes.
With his little caftan or whatever he had on. And this time he didn't have any wigs on.
No, he didn't. He had his
makeup. He just walks in the safe. He pushes this false wall out of the way, walks down this hall, and leaves out of this back alley. And his little dude's in the car dancing. And as he goes to get in the car, he takes his necklace and twists it, and the whole place blows up. And I'm like, what? Say what now?
Right.
That was awesome. So he obviously had a plan all along, back out plan.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
Which in that kind of business, that makes sense that he had a backup plan, an escape plan.
Yeah, an escape. And he might have been semi-prepared knowing that, okay, this fool just got out of prison. They might be coming after me.
Yeah.
But he did, you know, when they did say we work for Mr. Rabbit, he was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, he really knew. But I thought that was the coolest scene. He's like, drive. And he just went on through, which I thought was awesome. So then we go back to Banshee, and the mayor takes Lucas Hood now, we'll just call him Lucas, to go to the police station. They call the caddy, and they have to call the caddy because the old police station burnt down and they took over the old Cadillac dealership.
Right. That's right.
Which I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have enough money to build a new police station. So we meet Alma, the receptionist. We meet Emmett Yawners, Brock Lotus, who is the oldest member of the police force, and Siobhan Kelly, a girl, who is arresting somebody. And so the mayor was going to have Siobhan take him on a tour of the city, but he's like, no, I think I want Brock, because he's noticed Brock was giving him the side eye. Mm-hmm. I think I want Brock to take me on this tour. Since he's the oldest, you know, member of the force. So he's very observant. I like that. So they are in the car, and he starts asking him, did I catch you on a bad day? Are you always this nice? And before they can answer, the Brock kind of veers into this little lumber supply place, because he notices the Amish people are getting roughed up by these little thugs, some new thugs.
Yeah.
Little country fools. And so Lucas runs out of the car before the other little police guy can get out. He kind of confronts them a little bit. And they're like, well, who the fuck are you coming in here telling us anything? He's like, I'm the new sheriff. And we find out this is why Brock is salty. He's like, oh, Brock, weren't you supposed to take sheriff's spot?
Right.
He's like, well, that's what I thought. And I was like, aha. But I kind of like this scene. Because the dude goes, well, why aren't you in uniform if you're the new sheriff? And he says, oh, I don't start till Monday. And he's like, oh, well, then there's nothing to stop me from fucking up your shit today. And I loved when he said, I was hoping you'd make that connection. Come fuck my shit up. And they start tussling, which I liked. Four of them on one.
Yep.
He was doing it good, though.
He was.
He was knocking him back. And then the one picked up a big-ass piece of wood about to knock him over the head. And you see a hand stop him. And he's like, that's enough. And it's Kai Proctor. And immediately this dude's like, oh, sorry, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, shit. They scared of this dude.
But I have another oh shit moment in this scene.
Which one?
When we find out who the older guy is.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So those four thugs get ready to leave. They're like, yes, sir, we're going to leave now, sir. And he's like, wait a minute. These men are on a timetable. Help them pack up their wagon.
Yeah.
Because they had like horse and buggy shit. And so they have to go pick up all the wood and help them load their wagons. But of course they're doing it with an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one dude, Cole, the main one that was bullshit talking, told one of the older Amish dudes, "What? I'm not through with you yet, Dutchie." And so that pissed off Kai Proctor. At this point, he's over there where Lucas, fake Lucas, is. And he's like, "Well, who are you?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm the new sheriff." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, welcome to Banshee." And he tells them that he's in meats, custom meats. And he gives them a card. Come to the slaughterhouse. So as they get ready to leave, he goes over to the older dude, Amish guy, like you said, Sister Elmarie, and he starts speaking in the Dutch.
Yeah.
I guess it's called Dutch. Yeah, Pennsylvania Dutch?
Yeah, German.
Yeah. Okay. And he says, "Hello, Father."
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I think is an awesome, like, little twist.
Yeah, that was great.
And the guy, the father doesn't say anything. He just looks ahead. He's like, "It's good to see you." And he doesn't say anything. So then he says, "Well, you're welcome." And he walks away.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when he walks away, the father turns around and watches him. So you can tell he loves him, but he just didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Which this kind of plays out over the seasons, too. It's that story. And why. Which I love the way they do that. They tie it all into the, what do you call it? The culture of the Amish. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool, like, sort of plot line to bring into this.
Yeah.
This whole Amish thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And especially where they're at. It makes sense. And so, as fake Lucas is walking back to the car, he notices his daughter in a car with this boy. And so he says, "Oh, I'm going to walk." So he follows the car that gets parked behind this pawn shop. And as he passes the pawn shop, he notices Sugar's belt in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we see Deva, the girl, kissing this boyfriend. And I kept thinking, okay, this is interesting. So she, you know, you think they're getting ready to get busy. And she's like, "Okay, I got to go."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And so as she walks off and trying to put her shirt back on, she bumps into her daddy. But she don't know who's her daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabs her ID, her wallet, which I thought was pretty slick.
It was.
I love it when they do that in movies. And I wonder if it happens like that in real life.
I think you just so.
Bump into someone and you can get their wallet like that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
In the bag or in their purse or in their pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to learn that skill. Not to steal people's stuff, but I just want to see how it works. It's like magic or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. She's like, "Oh, never mind." And she walks past him and he's like, "Oh, wait, you dropped your wallet." He looked in it before he did this, though. I forgot that part. And found her high school ID. And he says, 13, my ass.
Yep.
So now he's got confirmation
that it's his daughter.
She's about 15.
See, I didn't pick up any of this stuff.
What?
Sorry.
How do you not pick
I'm just learning
up?
This right now.
What?
Okay, so what? So not once did you have an inkling that was his daughter?
No.
So when he looked at her wallet and her age and he's like, 13, my ass, what did you think?
She's just trying to pretend she was younger.
Why?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't pick up on stuff. That's good to know now, though.
Yeah.
You might have to rewatch that now.
I guess so. I missed some stuff there.
That's one of the reasons why he went back to the bar.
Yeah.
You know, when he, after they killed those guys, or he killed those guys.
Yeah.
He went to her house and he immediately was asking her, "How old are your kids?" She said 13 and 8. He's like, "Well, she looks older than 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's staying in town.
I see.
Because he knows that's his, he knows she's older than 13.
Yeah.
But I think another reason he's staying in town is because he knows there's no way she doesn't still have those diamonds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That and he probably still wants to be with her.
Right, right.
He does. He
yeah, he's her. Still in love with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's funny. Sister A. Oh my
Sorry.
Gosh.
I'm like, wait a second, spoiler alert.
First episode alert. Oh. So, we get to the slaughterhouse. And they're yes. cutting up meats, and the poor cows are being let in there. I mean, I know what happens to them. They're just so delicious. I did see, this is terrible to bring up, but I did see on Facebook, there was this video about a chicken farm or whatever they call it. Chicken.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, don't tell us.
Well, it's Sister A, you would love this story because it.
I still don't want to hear about it, though.
To be vegetarians. It's sad, though. I mean, I just never think about what they do in slaughterhouses.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
It's terrible. And they don't, yeah. they treat them like they're nothing.
Exactly.
And the chicken one, apparently, they have like, you know how when you go to a bakery, like a real bakery, you see all those racks of bread? Mm-hmm. That they have, like, those big little stacks, and they have trays on them, and they have slots, and you can put, like, probably, like, 10 or 15 racks on one little mm-hmm. round mm-hmm. rolly thing. Anyway, they have that, but there's chickens
oh, no,
in
stop.
There. No, no, no. Yeah, like, there's eggs, and they're incubating the eggs so that the chickens are born, and then they take the chickens that are well enough, I guess, and they take them to a chicken farm and raise them up, but they don't treat them well.
No.
And they have like a factory, like, you know, when you see like Coca-Cola factory and they're putting the bottles through these machines and they're capping the bottles and they're filling mm-hmm. the bottles. They do the same thing with the chickens, the baby chickens. They have them on these conveyor belts and shit. It's yeah. awful.
No.
Awful.
Anyhow.
Sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
But seeing that scene made me remember that video. And that's probably what the cows go through, too. But they're big. They can't put them on a conveyor belt. Anyway, poor cows. Don't eat meat, y'all. Don't eat meat.
Oh, dear. Anywho.
Anywho. See, I thought you'd be on my side, Sister A.
Well, of course I'm on your side, but I don't even like to hear about any of it, you know? It's just terrible.
It is. I do have a coworker that lives on land, and they just bought some chickens. Apparently, they're easy to buy. You can just buy them online and have them delivered. I mean, did you guys know that you could buy chickens?
You mean to raise chickens?
Yeah, little baby chicks. You can buy baby chicks and have them delivered to your house.
I didn't know you could
have them delivered.
Yeah.
Like a pizza.
Yeah, there's not like a chicken store. You have to order them, and they get delivered to you.
Stop
like,
it.
Is this like Amazon?
Right.
The chickens.
Now, I don't know where they order them from, but
chickens
they order.
On.
And then I have another chickens on.
Chickens on.
Chickens
on.
I have another friend whose sister raises. They have all kind of shit. But they have chickens too. Anyway.
Anywho.
I have a friend that rents. Well, I don't know if you'll call it rent. But she. I call it rent. Like, rent chickens and cows from this local farm. So that's where she
purpose?
Gets, like, all of... Well, that's where she gets her milk and eggs and meat
oh.
from.
Okay.
Oh, so it's not really renting. She's, like, sponsoring them?
Yes.
And then they
yes.
give her their milk and eggs?
Yeah.
See, that's smart.
And that's probably more humane because it's local.
Yeah, see? That's
yeah,
it's not like a factory.
And, no, and you know they're taking care of them.
Right. They're out in the fields, which a lot of cows don't get the chance to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
Well, but it's a different kind of cow, yeah. though, because they don't kill, I don't think, for meat, the milk cows, the dairy cows.
Probably
no,
later
No, you don't
on.
Have to. For a dairy cow, you don't have to kill the cow.
No, so that's what I'm saying.
Right, of course, yeah. So but one eventually they probably will.
For the
but
meat?
But that's okay.
Yeah. Well, this lady has chickens. Apparently, she got them, I think, in the first of the year, baby ones. And now they're already laying eggs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, how long can you milk a cow?
You mean how many
years?
I think years.
Yeah, like, does their milk dry up or something after so many years?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think if you keep milking them, they keep producing.
Yeah. I think it's like people.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
As long as you're sucking on it, it's coming out.
Okay. Just like the lady on Game of Thrones.
Huh? Which one?
The sister. Yeah,
you told us about that.
Yes! Oh, shit! She's
still, like, breastfeeding. The kid was, like, 9.
I know.
Stop it.
It's terrible.
It's awful. That was disturbing.
Or, like, very that lady. Disturbing. Was that Time magazine? The lady was on the cover?
Really?
Of a magazine. Breastfeeding her son.
Oh.
It was some big magazine. I thought it was Time magazine.
I think it was. I think I know what you're talking about. He was on a step stool or something.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh my god!
I need a boost.
I don't
Mom.
See anything wrong with breastfeeding. My problem is if your breast. I don't see how people do it once they get teeth.
I know. I feel the same way.
I mean, the gums hurt enough. I mean,
not that
gums.
I've never breastfed, but still, if they got these, choppers,
I've never breastfed. But...
Babies have gums. They have right. no teeth, but I'm telling you, if you try to breastfeed, the gums tear your titties up.
I'm sure. Oh
so
my
just
God.
Imagine by the time they get teeth and they don't know not to chomp.
Oh. Of course not.
I guess by then, though.
Well, shit, if the baby's or the kid is 9, they know not to chomp.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about like babies get teeth when they're like 8, 9 months.
Mm-hmm, yeah. yeah. Yeah,
and some people breastfeed till like 1.5, 2 years, sometimes up to 3. I think
if your baby is old enough to either walk to the fridge and get its own milk, or tell you that they're thirsty or hungry, then they need not breastfeed.
Agreed. And once they're having solid food,
right?
They don't need the breast milk anymore, right?
No, people still do when they eat solid food.
But what's the point?
Why?
The immunities and the antibodies and shit. It's healthier for them.
I know, but once
even when eating solid food?
A year or so.
Well, I mean, I didn't, but people do. Yeah. I know people that do.
Oh, my God.
Because they eat solid foods at a year old. And I know people, I mean, a year old, some. I know people that do it past a year old.
Yeah.
I think it's just dependent on what they do. And after a year, it's probably... they're used to it. It's probably like when they give up bottles, it's hard sometimes to have them give up having a bottle mm-hmm. and go to a real cup or a sippy cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They want that bottle, that feel.
But that's why it should be a weaning process.
Yeah.
Right.
I
right.
agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
You want to get your boobies back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't agree with all these people that say breastfeeding is nasty and people shouldn't do it. Oh. And I don't understand these people that say... don't breastfeed in public. I mean, where the fuck else are they going to do it?
Yeah, fuck that.
Why not?
Right.
People have their boobs out for other shit in public.
Yeah. Good it's problem. Not even like your boob is out.
Yeah,
it's
the not boob's out. Not even out.
Exactly.
It's stupid. No. People are so dumb.
Okay, but would you have a problem? Say you are somewhere in public, a restaurant, and you see a woman... breastfeeding, but the kid is like 3 years old. You think that's okay? This big ass kid sitting on her lap?
No.
That's okay?
No, that's not okay.
I would give the fucking side eye of my life.
I would get up and walk out.
No, I wouldn't get up and walk out. I'd be like, that baby's a tad bit big.
Right.
But I'd call the waiter over and say, could I order a milk for that kid?
I don't know what I would do. I mean, I think I would definitely give the side eye because of the size of the kid. Not the fact that she's breastfeeding, but the size
right.
of who she's breastfeeding, you know? Yeah. But there are people that are like totally against people doing this anywhere except for home.
I'm not
well, those people.
It just depends on the circumstance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the age.
And the age, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess. I mean, I used to know. I told this story somewhere that I used to work with this lady. I'm not going to say. Anyway.
You mean Samantha?
Samantha.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm like, who's Samantha? But I used to work with this lady, and she was breastfeeding her daughter, and I kept thinking, wait a minute. She was talking about something at work, and this is a long-ass time ago. And she was talking about breastfeeding, and I was like, wait a minute. That picture on her desk, that looks like a... I was like, well, how old is your daughter? She's like, 4.
What? Oh, my God.
And I was like, 4? She's about to go to fucking preschool.
Stop it.
How are you still breastfeeding?
Did you ask her that?
No, I kind of...
So when she said 4, what did you just say? I just went, and walked away?
Yeah, I just said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't really mess with her after that. Eek! I didn't mess with her much after
that. Oh my gosh. 4?
4.
Okay, I think she needs to let go.
Well, okay, that's the part that I don't understand. Because if you're breastfeeding, say, what happens when your kids start school?
That's a good question, because they're going to be wanting some breast milk.
Right. What do you do? Pack a bottle for your kindergartner?
I don't know. Maybe they do. You can pump it and keep it.
Well, I'm wondering. Do they?
I think it only lasts like 24 to 48 hours if you...
Okay, but if you're packing a breast milk bottle and peanut butter and jelly sandwich for your kid...
Well, it doesn't have to be a bottle.
In their lunch bag.
And a juice box.
They could put it in the thermos or something.
Yeah, I think at that point, maybe the mom has to sort of let go and say, okay, my kid is not a child anymore.
Like, well, literally, let go.
That's a child that's going to have...
Let them grow up.
See, in my opinion, okay, if you want your child to have the nutrients of breast milk, by the time they're, I would say 2-ish, but this is just my opinion. Okay, go ahead and keep giving them the breast milk, but pump it.
Yeah.
So that they can at least start using cups and, you know, shit like that. Because if this child was 4 and about to go to preschool, she was if she's not used to drinking out of cups and
drinking
shit.
Drinking out of the cup, that's true. Yeah.
Maybe she just didn't used to drinking milk out of the cup. So they would need to, I don't know. I didn't really ask any questions after that. I just went on about my business.
I wouldn't be asking any questions.
Because I thought it was strange, but I was really, 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 really
I would ask young. Questions.
It was my first real job.
El Marie would be asking questions.
I would.
We wouldn't.
I would.
I mean, I was asking, and I just kind of went, okay, okay, bye. And then there was this lady at the same company that was visibly pregnant. And she would go out, we would take breaks and go across the street to this little, 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. And, every afternoon that we would do this around 3-ish or so, she'd be out on her smoke break.
Oh my God.
You were gonna say that.
I thought you were going to say drinking.
No. Smoking. This chick was smoking and she was obviously a good 6 to 8, 9 months pregnant.
Oh my God.
So she pretty much smoked her whole pregnancy.
Obviously, yes.
Wow.
Had no shame. It wasn't like she was ducking down in her car smoking. Wow. She was out of the building where all the smokers would go, which I had a problem with anyway, because I don't want to
have
to walk.
I have a problem with that too.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk through smoke to get in and out of the building. But every time I would pass her, I would make a comment or I would give her an ugly look. Like, how fucking dare you smoke and you are pregnant?
Right.
Wow. It's different if you're smoking and you don't know you're pregnant. But you know you're pregnant. Your shit's sticking out.
Big old belly.
Yeah.
Visibly pregnant.
Wow.
You got on pregnancy clothes, which means you purposely went and got some. You know you're pregnant and you're smoking. Jeez. Oh, I was so angry at that woman.
Yeah.
And I know it happens. People... smoke every... I mean, I know people are still doing that.
Mm. Yeah.
And worse. Exactly. Probably even worse.
Yeah,
and worse.
But it's... ooh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Poor baby.
Damn. Yeah.
Shit, smoke makes me hack now, and I'm fully formed.
Right.
Fully formed. I am fully formed.
What do you think that smoke does to a fetus that's trying to grow and form up?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to stunt their ass up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, PSA people, come on now. Try to quit
smoking. What do you think about wine drinkers when pregnant?
See, I don't know. I thought people just automatically stopped drinking when they were pregnant.
Drinking caffeine.
I mean, any kind of soda. Although,
wait, you're not supposed to drink soda?
Well,
caffeine.
I don't think caffeine.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. That's a good... Well, I mean, I didn't really like caffeine anyway.
Never knew that.
Yeah, you don't drink that much of that caffeine. Stuff.
I mean, I love pop, though. I drink me some pop, but I never had
caffeine.
You don't
drink coffee, though.
No, I don't drink coffee either. Or tea.
Dang.
What would I do without my
Elmer Reed would
but
be
I
in
think,
trouble.
But I don't I would think... I don't think doctors ban you. I think they just probably tell you to limit your caffeine intake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I drink caffeine every day.
Yeah, but you don't drink it all day, do you?
I drink tea throughout the day.
Wow.
Like, so I have 2 cups every morning.
Of tea?
Of tea.
Oh, like hot tea?
Hot tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have 2 cups of hot tea every morning. And then I usually have 1 can of Pepsi.
That's not bad. That's not bad for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's not too bad. In a full day, that's not bad.
Yeah, but it's still every day.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what a doctor would say on that. Because I honestly don't remember ever. Because I never drank caffeine, so it didn't apply to me. So I've never asked. But that's a good question. I need to ask that.
Yeah.
About caffeine.
I think you can have like a little.
I think so too.
Of everything. I mean, as long as you just have a minimal amount, if you have to have it.
And I'm not sure about wine and alcohol. I'm sure you could have a drink every once in a while.
Yeah.
A drink like what? A vodka tonic?
I don't know about the hard liquor.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, I have heard it's okay for a glass of red wine.
Wine, right.
Why red? Red instead of white?
I don't know. I have no idea why.
What if it's less alcohol?
I don't know. Maybe red does have less alcohol than white.
Oh, they always talk about the health benefits of red wine for your
heart.
Yeah,
they do.
Red wine is so nasty.
No, it ain't.
Actually, all wine except for the one I like.
What?
She's not a big drinker, though.
No. I did find this, it's called Dicello with a C-I-L-L-O. No, D-I-C-I-L-L-O.
Mm-hmm.
Moscato, and it's really good.
You like Moscato best, right?
I have to try that.
Yeah, it's bubbly, a little bit of bubbles in it, and it's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like sweet where it's dry. It's sweet where it's sweet.
Okay.
And it's pretty good. It's in like a gold label.
Yeah, I like sweet wines.
Mm.
So, but yeah, I don't know. We need to ask some moms, some new moms out there. What are doctors telling y'all about caffeine?
Yes.
Yes. What are
please
the do's
contact
and don'ts?
Us. Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Elmarie,
we
needs
need some
to know.
New info.
Yeah, I need to know.
I'm curious to know, actually. I'm very curious.
Yeah.
About that. But anyway, sorry, we got all off on breast milk.
We sure did. How we jumped from banshee to...
Well, we started with the cow thing.
Oh, yeah, milk and cows.
Yeah, and then
how
we
did we get
to
milk
the,
and cows?
The slaughterhouse.
The slaughterhouse.
Oh, that's right, the slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in the slaughterhouse, back to banshee. Babies to slaughterhouses.
Right?
So we get to the slaughterhouse, and Kai is butchering up some meat. And one of his little henchmen comes over. His name is Burton. And he is my second favorite character ever.
Interesting.
At least on this show. Yeah. Okay. Job is first. Burton is second. And then I have some others. But I just love him. And
I forget who Burton is.
He's the guy with the glasses that came up and was like, profits are down in all the strip clubs.
Okay.
And... later on at the reception scene, he was the one watching over Kai the whole time. It's kind of like a...
Oh, okay.
He's kind of like a bodyguard, business associate.
Okay, yep.
He's a great character.
He's got the nerd look.
He does, but when he's cute, I think he's cute.
He is cute. Yeah.
And the way he just... he's just watching all the time. I think it's kind of sexy. And then well, you don't really notice it in the first couple of episodes, but in the reception scene later, when mm-hmm. some shit kicks off, did you notice he took his glasses off?
Yes.
And he started walking over?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the series, whenever some shit kicks off,
he takes
when you see him
off.
Take his glasses off,
oh, then you know some shit.
You know
shit's
about to go down. Okay.
Okay, I
it's
see him now.
About
I him up.
To go down.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I like him though, but so anyway, he's over telling him about business, and Kai's like, "Why is our profits down? It's a strip club. Men are always going to pay for that." He's like, "Fix it." So then you see Cole, the guy who was fighting the Amish and called his dad a Dutchie, coming up. He's like, "You wanted to see me, Mr. Proctor?" And Kai says, and I was like, "Oh shit, this ain't going to be good." Especially after we found out that dude was his daddy, that he was fucking with. So he tells him, "Why is it that the Amish don't like to be called Dutchie? And I heard you telling my dad, Dutchie." And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was your father. Honey, Kai Proctor goes ham on his ass. Ham!
He does.
He is punching. I'm thinking, this dude's going to be dead. He's gurgling and shit. And this slayed me. I was like, oh, hell no. He says, put those teeth back in your fat, bigoted mouth and get the fuck out.
Ooh.
And then when the dude was just laying there, he says, put the teeth back in your mouth.
Yes.
And he picked his teeth up off his chest
and
put them back in his mouth. And I was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, hell. This dude don't play. I would be passed the F out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How are you breaking off teeth and still awake? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I was like, oh, no. But I thought it was a good scene. And then he just turned back around. So then you see him driving home. And this is another scene where I'm like, oh, gosh. So he drives home, Kai Proctor. And it's a big-ass, nice-ass mansion-type house. He walks in the front door. He says, you, to a girl. And there's like 2-3 girls laying on this couch at the front foyer area. And I'm like, oh, he's got them on standby. And she goes into the bedroom, takes off her little nightgown. He gives her this little Amish hat to put on, which, okay, that's freaky.
Here, wear this.
I'm like, an Amish hat?
Really?
But hey, you know. And she starts going to town. And what was cracking me up is while she's doing all that, he's like standing there, whatever. And he's like, apparently he notices his hand is hurting and he sees he's got a piece of tooth stuck in his fucking hand.
Yes.
In his
Damn.
Knuckles. And then, oh, he also takes his shirt off and his whole back is covered with a image of Jesus on the cross.
Yeah,
I mean, his whole back. Can you imagine sitting and having that shit done?
No.
I mean, even in the makeup chair, I know it's not real, but just having that done. So then we get a scene where Siobhan, the lady cop, is helping fake Sheriff Hood with a uniform, and she's asking if he's going to have any family at the confirmation. He's like, nope, don't have any family. And so then we see this little montage of him getting sworn in as sheriff, and then they show other people around town, like Job updating his records to show that he's the sheriff and ID and all that. We see him getting sworn in. And I thought it was interesting on this viewing, I noticed that there was Amish people in the background of the court when he was getting sworn in. So obviously they had like leaders, other leaders, and the mayor was there, of course. And like the police force was there. So that was interesting to me because apparently they respect the other unofficial leaders in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed a scene of Sugar going out to his bar and his title belt is there along with some money.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he went and got his belt.
So cool.
From the pawn shop. That's sweet.
Yeah.
And then he, what else? Oh, and then we see him going to different, like, police calls, like, somebody's got robbed and somebody else did this. And anyway, so then afterwards they go to this reception at Kai Proctor's house, which I thought was like very awkward, strange, since he was just trying to be put in jail by the mayor and everything else. Anyway, so Gordon, of course, the prosecutor's there with Carrie Anna/Anna, and she is shocked as shit when she turns around and he is the sheriff. And yeah. she almost is like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You could tell she wants to go, what the fuck? Mm-hmm.
She's got to play it off. Like, she doesn't know him.
He did. He played it. He's like, oh, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, sorry. That was so funny. So then, but he was a little obvious because later he immediately goes towards wherever she went, off to the side to go smoke. And she's like, oh, a sheriff, huh? Why are you even still here? He's like, you know why I'm here. And I was like, oh, yes, tell her. That's my baby over there you got. But then he says, I need to show you something. So he goes to his car, and there's a safe in the back of it. And he's like, this is a sunset safe. You're the only one who can crack it, and I need you to open it up. And she's like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that shit. So now we know she's a safe cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, he's got the angle. So she's like, oh, forget it. And she walks off. So right before he's about to go back in, he gets cold cocked by that fool Cole with no teeth. Yeah. I'm like, how is he walking around? I'd be home with an ice pack.
Took some Advil.
So she goes back in and she tells Gordon, okay, I'm ready to go. He's like, okay. So he goes, they go to tell Kai goodbye. And right before they're about to leave, you hear gunfire. She throws her husband to the ground.
Yes.
Like she was a marksman or something.
Okay.
And I mean, she was in a dress and everything, had it all hiked up.
Yep.
And later on, he's looking at her like, what the fuck? What the hell? So anyway, this fool Cole is in there shooting at Kai Proctor. Yeah. So that's when you see Burton, his little hench dude, take his glasses off and start walking. And I'm like,
get it.
Well, when I first watched it, I didn't know what was going on. But this last time I watched it today, I was like, yeah, Burton, get him. Anyway, so he's shooting. Of course, he ain't aiming very well. And Kai's just standing there. Everybody else is ducking. So he gets closer. And Burton is right about to get up on this dude when you hear pow, and it's Lucas, well, the fake sheriff, shoot him dead in the head. He falls in the pool.
Yep.
Dead. Out. He got a big ass gash on the side of his head, or he got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's screaming and hollering and running. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good scene.
Yeah.
All the other policemen are all like, what the fuck? I was like, why are they so damn shocked? This dude was about to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
And they're all looking shocked. Useless. That he shot him. Yeah. So then we get our last scene. Spider-Neck guy is back in New York, or we're back in New York, and the spider dude is walking into this building, and we see this old white-haired guy playing chess. But he ain't really playing chess. He's telling people where to go on the chessboard. I was like, damn, you can't even move the pieces yourself, dude. So the spider neck dude, though, also has all these burns on the side of his face. So he obviously got caught up in that blast.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see the second dude. So I think the second dude got killed in that bomb thing. Anyway, so this is Mr. Rabbit.
Yes.
And I'm like, ooh, yes. So he walks over to the spider neck dude and he says, you will find them both quickly. And I was like, aw, snap.
Look out,
y'all.
You don't want to get this guy angry.
Yep. And it's going to be pretty damn good. That's all I So that was the end of the first episode. What did y'all think? I mean, after you watched that one, did you have an interest in keep watching? or were you just watching to, you know, do the three?
No, I had an interest after the first episode.
Me too.
Oh, good.
I was definitely interested to keep on with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I mainly like the characters. Because I wanted to know his real name. Like, that was my number one reason. Yeah.
That was it?
No, that wasn't it, but that was just my number one reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long he could keep up this charade as the sheriff.
Yes.
And just the mystery of what he is or how he is like that, you know?
Right. That's
why he was in prison for 15 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What they actually did together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, obviously they were together, but what were they?
But what did they do? Like, mm-hmm. I figured they were in on a, I'm assuming a jewelry heist because he was asking her for diamonds. So I still want to know, like, how did it all go wrong? How did he get caught? She didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I had no idea about the child. I really never even picked up that we didn't know his name. So obviously for me, there were some other things that I was interested in. I liked the story otherwise. So it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that bothers, one thing that bothers me about him, though, the main actor, is when he talks. How do I explain it? When he talks, it's like a black hole. You don't see his tongue or teeth when he talks.
Have you noticed? No.
Yeah.
Never noticed.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of distracting.
The shape of his mouth.
He just doesn't open his mouth that much, or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so he doesn't have to open his mouth. Yeah. I'll have to watch him again.
I don't know this actor from anything else. Do you?
No, he's actually British, I think.
Okay. Oh. I've never seen him in anything else.
Me neither.
Yeah, no. Which I think is great.
Which is surprising. Mm-hmm. But good, yeah.
I think it's good because he's an unknown, or at least to me he was an unknown. Right. And he could really make this. I mean, I've never seen a show quite like this.
Yeah.
Before, and I just was like, yes, this is awesome.
Yeah. But you know what? As you started to talk about this first episode, and in the future part of the after show, we're thinking to do Jack Reacher books and the movie. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Jack Reacher when you started talking about him.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah,
it does. I was like, wait a second, because I'm reading the book right now, and I'm like, shit, this sounds a lot like that character.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
I mean, not really where he's from, but like the things that he can do, and obviously the mystery of how is he...
The whole mystery of him.
Right,
right.
Because he's super observant. And the one thing I think is really cool about how this actor plays him, his name is Anthony Starr, the actor. How he plays him, he's always looking around. Everywhere, like when he went to meet the mayor, he's looking around.
Mm-hmm.
When he went to the police station, he's looking around.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he's on the lookout for the guys who are after him.
No, I mean, I don't think he knows. I don't think he thinks they're there. But I think he's just always looking, like trying to make sure he knows... How the fuck am I going to get out of here if I have to get out of here?
Yeah.
Who's behind me? Who's in front of me?
Yeah.
If I have to break out and fight, I need to know where my shit is to fight.
He walks into every situation calculating an escape, basically.
And that's
how to survive. Yeah.
And that's Reacher.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's
when you read the book.
You know, with the police station and trying to figure stuff out and... Just the way he moves and kind of his demeanor reminded me of that.
And even when he talks to people, he's watching their reaction of, okay, are they going to buy this shit? Because if not, I'm going to have to break out of here real quick, or I'm going to have to punch him out real quick and run. Or like when the girl, Shabon, the cop was helping him with his uniform, and she was, I think, trying to pin something on him, and she was asking about if any family was going to be there. And, you know, most people probably would look away because they were really close talking. He was looking right at her like, okay, let me see if she buys it. He's like, well, I don't have family and there's nobody coming. But to me, it was like he was looking to see if she was going to buy that.
Okay. Yeah.
Story, or if she was going to say, really? How would you know her family? Or maybe she knew something about the sheriff, or even when he met the mayor, he's like, Lucas Hood. And he's like, yeah, that's me. He kind of was looking around and by the way, or what? I don't know.
Yeah.
I like how I like how he's always confident, but he's uncertain at the same time.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You know? And then we get into the second episode, which is titled The Rave, which I was like, oh, damn. And it really highlights him looking after or looking, following up on the fact that he thinks this girl is his daughter. Deva.
Right.
Deva. And all of it is kind of circles back to Kai Proctor because he's obviously into strip joints, the meat packing plant, and drugs.
Everything in town.
Yeah.
Like all roads lead to Kai Proctor.
Yes. All roads. Basically owns the town.
Yes.
And so that he's got some people. Basically, the premise of this one, I don't think we have to go really deep into it, but is that there are a couple of folks that he has selling drugs for him that get the idea, well, the one dude basically gets the idea of starting to cut that stuff and make his own profits.
Yep.
And when he does, and he sets up these raves all over, he sets up this rave in this old, it's not old, but this family is away out of town, so he goes and gets this old barn. He's gonna have the rave there, and they get wind of it, the cops get wind of it, and I don't think he even knows his daughter's there at the time, but they're just gonna go break up this rave, and then he notices that she's there, and of course they've taken these pills.
Yes,
they're all high. The boyfriend starts having a bad reaction. Actually, a bunch of people.
Yeah, kids. He wasn't the only one.
There was a bunch of kids, like, convulsing and having seizures. Her boyfriend, Davis, actually dies.
Yeah.
Which I was sad about.
Yeah.
So I'm like, these are kids.
Right.
Probably a couple other ones did. We just don't know those kids.
Right.
He's trying to get the guy who did it, you know, he's trying to chase his ass down, which the actor that's playing that main henchman dude, he's in the new or he was in the what do you call it? Oh shit, I just lost my mind. It's that new Netflix Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
He's in that series.
Gotcha.
On Netflix. Anyway, this was a pretty good episode, but I was like, damn, this is kind of dark.
Yes,
it was,
you know. And at the end of it, basically, Kai Proctor's pissed because, first of all, you're trying to sell my shit without cutting me in on it. Right. And he tells them, you don't ever sell here in this town.
Yeah.
That's how we stay out of fucking trouble. And then on top of selling in the town, you cut my shit up and it killed somebody.
Trouble. Yeah.
What did y'all think about that scene at the end when he had that guy over to his house? He was eating steak. You remember that scene?
No.
I don't remember.
Oh.
I did the Sister A, I think.
Did you pull an LM? Could you remind me? He brings the head guy who was selling the drugs to the house, and he's eating the steak.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, you know, with my dogs, I never feed them what they actually want until they're satisfied. I always leave them a little bit hungry. And then he cuts that dude's finger off.
Oh.
And he throws it out and he says, okay, you need to run now. And he throws him out, and he and his dogs, of course, you can hear him tearing that dude up.
Oh, shit.
Okay, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
I must have passed out.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
These episodes seem like hours long.
You think so?
Yeah, these were some long-ass episodes.
Yeah.
I think it's because there's no commercials.
Yeah.
And they're like a full hour.
Yeah.
They're not like broadcast TV hours. 45
minutes, 42 minutes. Yeah.
They're like real hours, like HBO hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although whenever I'm watching like Game of Thrones or something, mm-hmm. I feel like it's not an hour. It's not long enough.
It goes so fast.
It goes so fast.
Yeah, it does. I'm always like, shit, it's over already?
Yeah. It's terrible. He ends up cutting the dude's fingers off, feeds it to one of the dogs, and then tells the dude to run.
Shit. No, I do slightly remember this now.
You must have pulled LM. LM.
Yeah.
It's at the very end. Very end. Yeah. Because he's pissed. He's like, he said, you don't sell these damn pills here. You don't shit where you eat, basically.
Right.
You stole my fucking pills. You killed somebody. Oh, and yeah, the boy that died was a senator's son.
That's right. I was going to mention that.
So it's going to cause him even more issues. Mm-hmm. So
right.
He wasn't going to have this dude live, basically.
No.
And then he went on back to eating his steak, which I thought, okay, I'm not cutting some dude's hand off or fingers off and then going to cut my steak with it again.
Oh, man.
He sure did, though.
Tasty.
I'm like, and this is the thing about it is like, you know, Kai Proctor is a bad dude, a character that is like awful, and he's doing all this shit, and he's got women on the ready, and he's got all these strip clubs, he's selling drugs and shit, but you like him at the same time. Well, I do, anyway.
Yeah, he's not like a hated, you know, he should be, but yeah. There's something about him, I guess.
There's something about him I like.
Right.
Because even though he's a dick and he's mean and he's killing up folk, when you see him trying to talk to his family that won't talk to him, you kind of feel sorry for him. And there's certain situations later in the season you're like, oh, I kind of like him. He's cool. And then we see at the very, very, very end, Lucas Hood, a.k.a. unknown dude's name, taking his daughter home and trying to talk to her a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I thought was I felt kind of bad for him in this scene because you could tell he wants to really be like, hey, this is why I'm looking out for you.
Yeah. But he can't.
But he can't. No,
he can't. And I don't think he'd be that smothering
type of father.
Father anyway. Because he's got skills and he knows
he doesn't like to be smothered himself.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, I kind of like that scene too. And that was the end of that episode actually.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just kind of compounds on the first one. You just want to know more. Cause they really don't reveal that much more about him.
No.
Or
it's
the
slow
whole
process
situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third episode was called Meet the New Boss.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kind of goes more out about the city, and we get to visit the local Indian reservation.
Yes, for a boxing match.
The Conajo tribe. And I thought this was interesting, too. So you have, like, the Amish, you have the Native American community, all mixed in there together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of both battling for all these underhanded shit they're doing.
Right.
Anyway, I really like it. So what did y'all think? Would you guys continue watching this series?
I think so, but it's not like
I will, but it's not pressing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that the last episode, it was a little bit too gratuitous as far as the guy beating the shit out of that girl.
I agree.
And that really kind of turned me off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a lot of these shows are this way now, but it really just kind of, I just didn't like that too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, there's enough of it that I like that I probably would keep going with it. And the fact that you like it a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, I know we have different tastes, so
yeah, but you know, there definitely are some good points to it. So
it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, eventually I will like catch up and watch it all.
Right. All of a sudden now Marie will be like, I'm done with that. She goes on these wicked.
I do.
Binge watching.
Yeah. Binge watching.
I really do.
Yeah.
I do. So eventually I'll watch it all, but it's not
Right. Crossing. Same here. Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I doubt, because when does the next season come out? Season 4?
I think it's in April. Like April 4th or...
Yeah, that's coming up. Two weeks.
April 5th, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Okay, I definitely won't be caught up with that.
No, me either.
Yeah. But you'll have to at least let us know if they reveal his name in this last season.
Yes.
I don't think they will be real. I don't think they'll reveal it, ever? Honestly.
Wow.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
I do know that, I mean, the first season is pretty damn good. And, you know, the cool thing about shows like this on Cinemax and HBO, there's only 10 episodes. Well, the cool and the bad thing is there's 10 episodes a season.
Okay.
So it's really, to me, it's like they don't have time to fuck around and string shit out. They kind of.
Right.
Get to it, and even right. though each episode has a different like sub story, it's kind of all ties back to the main one, and you get little pieces of information
right every about time
who they are and what they did, and they do little bitty flashbacks
mm-hmm.
About things, so you can kind of yeah. learn more about who they were before all of this. And
do the seasons end off on like really big cliffhangers?
Kind season one, it's not a cliffhanger, but I mean, you're like, fuck.
Okay.
I mean, the last 1 to 2 episodes, season one, you're like, what the fuck? Season two, I'm honestly can't remember that finale. Season three, yes, cliffhanger. Like, okay. What the fuck? Like,
so you're waiting to find out what's happening.
Yes, I'm waiting to find out what they're going to do.
Gotcha.
Yes, so, and I'm so glad that I went back, because it's been on for 3 years. I watched the first season and half of the second, like when it was airing. And then I, you know, got busy and didn't watch. And mm-hmm. I just went back like 2-3 months ago and rewatched it all.
Or, wow.
You know, all they had a marathon.
Yeah.
On Cinemax, but you know, I could have just done it on Max to Go or whatever they call it. And I just didn't. And I'm yeah. like, oh my gosh, this was great. How did I not keep watching this?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's like must see.
Yeah. And the fact that it is only 10 episodes this season is much more manageable.
Yeah.
It than is. Say like yeah. a Blacklist where it's like 25 yeah. almost oh, episodes.
I know.
A season, which is too much.
So much. I was yeah. like 6 or 7, not that many, 5 or 6 of down on the Blacklist. It yeah. felt like it took me forever to catch up. I mean, they were great when I caught up.
Right.
I was like, why it's was I lot, not though. Watching it? But it's a lot.
It is, yeah.
So this is good. We could catch up pretty quick.
Yeah. Those you can catch up very easily. Well, I'm glad y'all liked it.
Yes. Yeah. Good suggestion.
Thank you.
Something different.
Very different, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have any feedback, and I don't know what we are going to do next time. That's something that one of y'all will have to pick.
Okay.
It's y'all's turn now. I think it's just A's turn.
It is.
Could be. It's been a while.
This might take us a minute to get it, because just A don't like to commit.
That's true.
No, she had no problem recommending The Princess Bride.
Well, that's true.
Oh, that's, you're so right.
That's true. I have to think of something. I'll be on the lookout.
So are we going to do a movie or a TV show?
I'm going to say movie.
Okay.
Because then it's just 2 hours and you're done.
And you're done.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll let you know.
Okay, perfect.
I'll put it in my to-do list.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if you guys have any feedback for us on Banshee, are y'all watching Banshee? Are you going to watch the new season? Or suggestions on what we should watch next? You can send that to sisterspeak@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, which is sisterspeakpodcast.com, and leave a comment. We have a voicemail line at 972-755-1215 or SpeakPipe, which is speakpipe.com/sisterspeak. And you can, the cool thing about SpeakPipe is you can do it from anywhere, and you can listen back before you hit send, which is perfect for when you need to edit yourself or if you're rambling and it's going to take you 5 minutes to finish your voicemail. Delete that shit and start over and just do 2 minutes. We don't want no long ass feedback. We are also on Twitter. I'm at underscore Sister K.
I am at Literary Marie.
And I am at AKS IDS.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SisterSpeakPodcast and join our Facebook group, which is called Sister Speak Nation. It has been fun.
Yes.
You also have, well, by the time this comes out, I don't know. But right now, you also have about a day left to vote for our Sister Speak Choice Awards.
Yes. First annual.
The first annual. You'll be able to vote in categories like the best Big Brother podcast.
Worst wig in TV.
Favorite taco meat.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about his taco meat. Did you notice, Elmarie?
Oh, he does have taco meat.
But it wasn't that bad, I didn't think.
It wasn't gross, though. Like, it didn't gross me out.
No, because it was more even.
Yeah, more tame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a lean little sucker, too.
He is.
Very lean. But yeah, so send us your feedback and vote for the Sister Speak Choice Awards. You have a couple days. Make sure your favorite wins. All right, that's it for now. I'm Sister K.
I'm Sister LM.
And I'm Sister A.
See you next time.